What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and dive into my case this week. I had originally planned to cover a different case. You may have seen that on our little case list, Haley. But as soon as this suggestion came in from one of our listeners, I knew right away that I had to look more into it because I always find cases like this to be astounding.
Okay.
So today I'm going to be covering the Lost Boys of Pickering.
I think I saw this suggestion come in, but I know nothing about it.
And neither did I. And it may be because it's a Canadian case. Like, obviously, we don't get a ton of Canadian news down here.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you search certain things, you would expect it to flag certain cases. But I have never... like, literally never heard of this case, and it was suggested by Heaven. Hope I'm saying your name right, but thank you so much for sending this in, because, like I just said, I had never heard of this case until now.
Yeah.
Okay, so, in the early morning hours of March 17th, 1995, which was St. Patrick's Day, six teenage boys went missing from Pickering, Ontario.
Okay.
Those boys were 18-year-old Chad Smith, 17-year-olds Michael Cummins, Jay Boyle, Jamie LaFera, Robbie Rumbolt, and 16-year-old Danny Higgins. So, how do six almost grown men seemingly vanish into thin air?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It reminds me, like, it's totally different, obviously, but it kind of, like, reminds me of the Springfield Three, like, those three women that went missing.
Disappearing into thin air.
Yeah, basically.
Wow. Okay.
It's reported that on the night of March 17th, these six boys had been attending a spring break party near Lake Ontario with about 50 other attendees. There, they were drinking alcohol and smoking some pot. Some witnesses from the party claimed there had been an altercation between Danny Higgins and Jay Boyle, and that Jay had hit Danny in the jaw.
Oh, okay.
Afterwards, Danny left the party and met up with a friend who was also a friend of Jay's to have her kind of intercede between the two boys.
Okay.
The friend and Danny returned to the party. Around midnight, the boys decided to walk down to East Shore Marina. There was a video surveillance of three of the boys, Michael, Jamie, and Robbie, breaking into the marina on Frenchman's Bay at about 1:48 a.m.
Oh, okay.
On another video, they are seen taking beer from one of the boats that was also docked there.
Okay. So they were just, like, doing teenage stuff, messing around, maybe doing some illegal things, but...
Yeah. Harmless.
Okay. Harmless. Yeah, exactly.
Mostly harmless.
They're not going and like murdering people, but they're just being teenagers, it sounds like.
Yeah. So there's no additional information as to what the boys did in the hour-ish gap between when they left the party and when they were seen on the surveillance video. But another witness who was later interviewed claimed that there was a loud incident of yelling and breaking bottles at the small mall that was located nearby, just north of the party house.
Okay.
Between 2 and 3 a.m., one or more marina area residents reported hearing a motorboat out on the lake. Allegedly, the six boys had split into two groups and went to separate marinas once they left the party. Thus, why only three of the boys are seen on this video footage.
Okay.
Which, honestly, that detail is so chilling, because if they went separate places and they all ended up missing, like...
Right.
What?
How... Oh, that's creepy. It almost also kind of reminds me of, like, I mean, it's like a total theory, but all the men that go missing in Chicago area or surrounding areas, and a lot of people think that it could be like what people dubbed the smiley face killer, which it's never been proven, but it's like a bunch of people that go missing and end up being found. I mean, they end up being found not alive in like the river, but it's right. the same thing where it's like they're doing different things, but they just vanish.
Yeah. And that's like all over the country, right? That they suspect this quote-unquote smiley face killer.
Yeah, like especially in like the Midwestern region, I think. But yeah, it's so creepy how people can just vanish.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. So around 3:30 a.m., two of the boys' girlfriends called police and reported them missing because they were, of course, worried. They hadn't seen or heard from their boyfriends in, you know, a few hours. And the officer that answered the phone was Officer James Gillum of the Durham Regional Police Department. But as we see in a lot of these types of cases, they don't really take it serious. You know, they're like teenage boys. They're like, oh, they're probably out having fun with their friends.
Yeah.
So an official search for the boys did not actually begin until the following day, which is still really good. I mean,
yeah, that is sooner considering, than normal.
I mean, they are children, you know, technically. Well, one of them's 18, but, you know, they are considered children, minors.
Yeah.
So at least they started searching for them the next day, because that's not always the case.
That's definitely still sooner than we see in a lot of cases, but especially it's still frustrating.
In the 90s, you know?
Yeah, mid-90s. That's true. That's true. Canada, I feel like, does things better.
Yeah. Yeah. So on March 18th, around 2 p.m., a search for the six missing boys began. This initial search included the Durham Regional Police, as well as the Metro Toronto Police Marine Unit and the Canadian Coast Guard.
Okay.
They had a helicopter unit in the sky, as well as several civilian boats, along with search and rescue boats in the water looking for these boys. So when I don't know about you, but when I think about a lake, I think like calm, relaxing. But evidently, this particular lake, it's one of the Great Lakes. It's more like a beach, like an ocean. It's got heavy currents and waves. And, you know, and this particular evening, like, there was a lot of wind. So the current was pretty
strong.
Heavy, I guess. Strong, yeah. That's a better
word. Yeah. I feel like I'm picturing, like, what I know. I had friends in college from the Midwest that would like go to Lake Michigan in the summer, and it's like a lake, but it's also kind of like a beach for them, so like that's kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah, it's very similar to that, because I think that's like really close to this particular lake as well, because they're all the Great Lakes.
Yeah, they're all right there.
Yeah, the coastline was searched for several kilometers on either side of the marina. It was then realized that a water tricycle, which these are funny looking. It's literally like a boat. Am I saying
boyus?
That right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Boyus. Okay, I'm questioning everything these days. like a kid's tricycle, but like with these
but
giant.
But it floats.
Yeah, it's like kind of cool. I've never seen anything like that before. I don't know.
I can
we don't
totally
have them
picture
around
it
around where I live, but
yeah, I can totally picture that. Okay.
So they realized that one of these and an imitation Boston Whaler motorboat had been reported missing from the Frenchman's Bay, which, if you remember, that's where the three boys, Michael, Jamie, and Robbie, had been seen on the surveillance video.
Right.
So the police began to kind of ascertain that the boys may have taken the tricycle and the boat and became stranded out on the lake due to the current and the wind and things like that. And they were probably intoxicated.
Yeah.
So the boat reportedly did not have any life vests on it. So if they were, if they did capsize or something like that, even if they were able to swim well, it was March in Canada and the water was likely freezing, below freezing temperatures, and the boys would have been basically paralyzed by hypothermia within minutes.
Right. Wow.
So
that's scary.
If they were in an accident or something happened, but the boat that was missing is supposed to be like an unsinkable boat.
Oh.
And that is an interesting fact because it's made from, I guess, like styrofoam, like the innards of the inner workings of the boat are like styrofoam. And I guess like the outside is like, you know, plastic, plexiglass. That's crazy. Like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like unsinkable. Like some of the footage that I watched, like interviews and things, there was a picture of the boat, a boat similar to this boat, cut in half and it was still floating.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, so it doesn't sound like they would have, like, it would have capsized and they would have, like, died of hypothermia.
Yeah, because they would have been able to, like, they would have likely been able to get back in the boat. I mean, if it's still afloat.
Right, unless they, like, decided to jump off or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you never know that if they're drunk. But yeah, okay, doesn't seem as likely.
Yeah. So, furthermore, on that note, if the boys did succumb to these icy conditions, their bodies would have eventually been recovered once decomposition began because bodies float in water.
Right.
You know, due to the gases that are released after death. If they do sink, which they might have, they would eventually, you know, have risen to the top of the water.
Right. And like you said, it was a little bit like a bigger lake, more like an ocean, but it's also still a lake. So like,
yeah,
if searches were done, they should have been found.
Right. So there's no proof that the boys had taken these vessels, but it is worth noting that the night before, Jay, Chad, and Robbie had stolen a water tricycle and gone for a joyride, but later returned the tricycle afterwards. So definitely in their character to do something like this, but there's no proof of it. They're not seen on, you know, security footage or anything like that, but still worth noting. It's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay.
On March 19th, an aerial search noticed a water tricycle floating in Lake Ontario about 20 meters from the shore. The choppy conditions in the water made it impossible for the tricycle to be retrieved, and it was never recovered.
Wow.
That's pretty wild to me.
Like, that is wild.
Where did it go?
Like, it just disappeared. It vanished.
Like, I guess so. Like, is there a Bermuda Triangle situation going on here? Like,
it could be.
Jay's girlfriend at the time pointed out that the water tricycle could have floated away after the joyride the night before because she knew that they hadn't tied it back to its original post.
Okay.
So that could explain why the tricycle was out there, or maybe they had it the night that they went missing.
Okay.
We don't know.
Okay.
On March 29th, 60 kilometers from Frenchman's Bay near Wilson, New York, a gas tank is recovered.
Okay.
Allegedly, this tank belonged to the imitation Boston Whaler the boys were perceived to have taken. The gas tank had both English and French printed on it, so they were able to link it back to Canada. However, there are some discrepancies and controversies over this gas tank. For starters, why was the tank separated from the boat?
Right.
Was the tank disconnected from the hose? And if so, by whom and for what reason? If the tank somehow broke free from the hose, where did it break and what force was applied to it to cause the break?
Right.
Also, the tank that was found had a significantly large dent in it, and the one reported missing from the imitation Boston Whaler only had slight blemishes when compared to pictures and surveillance of the boat from prior to this.
Okay.
So police are wondering, did it get so badly dented after it was disconnected from the boat? You know, the water conditions were pretty rough that night, but it just doesn't add up.
Right. No, it doesn't make sense.
No. And it's like, a gas tank. That's like a gas tank in your car, like a gas tank in some other kind of motorized vehicle. Like, I would imagine you would need tools and things of that nature to disconnect it from whatever.
You don't just like pull it right off.
Unfortunately, the search is called off after a few days, but local citizens did pick up the slack and continued searching for themselves. But after several days, the private search also comes to an end and the case runs cold.
Okay, geez.
Yeah. 3 years later, on April 10th, 1998, two sets of human remains were found near the intake of Sir Adam Beck Hydroelectric Generating Station in Queenston. That's a mouthful.
Wow, okay.
Which is a power plant on the Niagara River. The first set of remains was reportedly just bones, but the other set, there were actually a pair of red Levi jeans still intact. Along with the red jeans, there was a dark brown belt, white socks, and a black wallet that was empty.
Huh.
Jay Boyle had been photographed wearing red Levi's on the night that he disappeared. According to his mother, Trisha, she had purchased Jay two pairs of the jeans. One was green and the other pair was red. One of Jay's sisters also recognized the belt and said it was similar, if not identical, to the one that Jay wore. Jay's family, along with a private investigator, Bruce Ricketts, asked police to compare the items to Jay's DNA. However, no DNA testing was ever done.
Okay.
Detective Mark Sheridan stated that the testing would be too expensive and not worth the efforts because the remains were likely that of a male between the ages of 25 and 60, and Jay was only 17 at the time. They also claimed it was unlikely that it had been the remains of the young man because it was recovered. The remains were recovered so far away in the Niagara River.
Right.
Which to me, that doesn't seem like a completely impossible thing.
No,
you know?
I don't think so either.
Jay's family even offered to foot the cost of the testing, but their requests were still denied. Later in October of 2014, a meeting with the ATI and the Ontario Coroner Office took place. The meeting had been attended by their private investigator, Bruce Ricketts, as well as the four sisters of Jay, along with Dr. David Evans, who was the supervising coroner for the Central East Region, Dr. Kathy Gruspier, a forensic anthropologist with the Ontario Forensic Pathology Service, and an unidentified note taker.
Okay.
Dr. Gruspier claimed that the reason the pants were not DNA tested against Jay's DNA was because the pants allegedly had a waterproof coating on them. Therefore, they could not possibly be the red pair of Levi's from the mid-1990s.
Okay.
During the meeting, they were asked about the results of the DNA testing on the remains since the Durham Regional Police had reported to Jay's sister that the testing had been done by the coroner, but according to information provided by their PI on the official website about the case, which I do plan to link in the sources, the verbal release made by the DRPS included statements to the effect that initial testing was done by Ontario coroner and was proven inconclusive.
Oh.
Then the samples were sent to a private third party for more sensitive testing.
Huh.
When asked about the delay in testing, Dr. Evans admitted that the DNA testing had not been done because of a delay in getting the evidence box from the Niagara Regional Police Service. So they're just all over the place.
Yeah,
like, it's been tested. No, it hasn't. It's inconclusive. We don't have the evidence box. Like, who's running the show here?
Yeah, it's like all over the place.
According to Dr. Evans, the Niagara Regional Police Service told him that they could not find the box, that it had likely been misplaced during some renovations, and was not found until later. An additional discrepancy between the 1998 findings and the 2014 findings with respect to the estimated age of the remains was that the 1998 estimated age was between 25 and 60, like we, you know, heard before. Whereas in 2014, the estimated age was 29 to 47 years of age.
Okay, right.
So, of course, many questions still remain on this component of the file. the Ontario coroner finally did a DNA analysis and compared it to that of Jay Boyle and declared a negative outcome. While this would appear to close this part of the case, the fact that the Niagara Regional Police Service took so long to send the evidence box to the coroner, compounded with the description of the pants by the coroner, which contradicts the description by the NRPS, leads right. one to ask, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
There was also, and so in a picture of the jeans, allegedly, you can see on the tag that it says Levi Strauss.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, there's no way there are these jeans, but then
there are those jeans. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There was also a major red flag as to the location of the evidence box. The Niagara Regional Police Service told PI Ricketts that the evidence box was in the custody of Hamilton Hospital Pathology, where it had been sent for an autopsy in 1998. However, the chief pathologist at that hospital told him no such items would have been kept there for that long, as it had been 16 years and there was no secured lock space at the hospital to store that evidence. Along with this evidence being misplaced or mishandled, the original surveillance footage from the night the boys went missing also apparently vanished.
That's not good.
Yeah. When the private investigator asked to review the tape, the Durham Regional Police Service said that there was no tape to review. Now, we know this video existed because the families of the boys had seen it firsthand at the beginning of the investigation.
Right.
So these...
Where is it?
Yeah. So these revelations only raise more red flags and more questions.
Yeah.
So naturally, there are several theories and speculations as to what happened to these six boys on the night of March 17, 1995. There's a whole Reddit rabbit hole. I briefly skimmed through some of it and I was just like, can't go there right now.
Yeah.
But there's lots of theories, you know, from foul play to aliens to the police are, however, convinced that somehow all of the boys drowned, most likely in some sort of water vessel accident. Like we mentioned before, their boat capsized, or a lake freight, which is like this ginormous boat, basically like a freight you would see in the ocean, just a little bit more compact.
Okay.
Ran them over. And since they were likely, you know, intoxicated, it was dark, they would have gone unseen and likely drowned.
But where are they? How have they not?
Yeah. Yeah, like somebody's body. I mean, there's six boys, you know?
Yeah, there's too many of them. And it's too, the search didn't happen till the next day, but it happened the next day.
Yeah.
And maybe this is me being ignorant and not knowing enough about lakes, but like, it's a lake. So I feel like a proper full search could have been done early on. It's not like the ocean where it's just endless. And I know some lakes are giant and deep. And again, I don't know a lot about lakes. So maybe this is just me being ignorant about it and not knowing. But it just feels like they could have found something.
Yeah, I agree. And they had aerial surveillance going. I mean, they had boats. They had pretty much anything you could think of looking for these six boys. And no sign.
And it's not like it was... There's the boat or whatever they had to be able to go out there too, because if they would have just drowned at the shore or something like that, then they more likely would have been found. But they clearly were, if this is what happened, they were out on the lake. So how did whatever vessel they used just disappear as well?
It was never recovered.
Six boys in a vessel just poof, gone. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
And how did they link up if the other three boys weren't seen on the surveillance footage? That's what's getting me, is like, there's surveillance footage of three of the boys at this particular marina. Where are the other three boys?
How did three other boys just also disappear?
It's weird. It's bizarre.
It's so weird. Wow.
In August of 2017, after facing a lack of support, confusion over DNA testing, and enduring the pain of their missing family members, a petition was created to declare a National Missing Persons Day. According to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, approximately 71,000 people went missing in 2015 alone.
Jeez.
Most Canadians are not aware DNA isn't kept in a database, which that's crazy to me. Like, I feel like, don't we do that here in America?
Yeah. Like CODIS.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's fingerprints, but yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a database.
Yeah. Families need to submit DNA for any potential testing. The petition was presented to the Parliament of Canada in fall of that same year, but as of June 2022, Canada still does not have a National Missing Persons Day.
Huh. Okay.
Tell us why, Canada.
Yeah.
What's going on? Like, what are they doing? I don't know. That's wild to me. It is.
Yeah.
Because obviously the software is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jay Boyle was described as a Caucasian male, 6 foot tall, 150 pounds, with short brown hair and green eyes. He was last seen wearing a canvas black baseball cap, a red hooded shirt, maroon denim pants, or the red Levi's, a green cotton sweatshirt by the brand Fila, and black and white Adidas shoes. He has a broken, fractured right little finger and a scar on his left leg, as well as a left ear piercing. Jay left behind a daughter who was only a year old when he went missing.
Oh my gosh.
And Jay's family said he would have never purposely left his daughter behind.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Chad Smith was described as a Caucasian male, 5'11", 170 pounds, with shoulder-length brown hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing a black vest, a wool sweater, brown rubber boots, and blue pants. He has a tattoo of a cross on his left hand. Michael Cummins was described as a Caucasian male, 6 foot, 154 pounds, with short brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a black shirt, a green cotton hooded sweatshirt, canvas white running shoes, blue denim pants, and he also has his left ear pierced. Danny Higgins was a Caucasian male, 5'9", 134 pounds, with short brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen wearing blue denim pants, a black hat with the Detroit Red Wings engraved on it, and brown shoes. He has a tattoo on his right upper arm on the shoulder saying Cujo. Jamie Laferva, I'm so sorry for butchering that. I know I am. I'm trying. I really am. Was described as a Caucasian male, 5'8", 119 pounds, with a thin build. He had medium length blonde hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing black jeans and a black and white Adidas brand windbreaker, black and white striped Adidas shoes, and a black and white striped nylon jacket. He has a scar on the left side of his chin and a scar on his left eyebrow. Robbie Rumble was described as a Caucasian male, 5'6", 134, with a medium build. He had short brown hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing red sneakers that were suede, blue pants, a brown and black coat, and he has a scar on his left hand, a scar on his right large toe, and a birthmark on his right foot, and he also has a left ear piercing. Each year, the families of the boys gather at Frenchman's Bay to remind their sons, brothers, grandsons, and cousins, Jay Boyle, Chad Smith, Robbie Rumble, Jamie Laferva, Michael Cummins, and Danny Higgins, that they are still looking for them and they are still waiting for them to come home. The families and friends write messages on balloons to their loved ones and lay out flowers on the beach.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Sadly, Jamie's mother died in 2012, never knowing what happened to her son.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
I know. Anyone with any new information on this case is asked to call the Durham police at 905-579-1520. I will link that in the show notes. And you can also place an anonymous tip with Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477, which I will also link in the show notes.
Wow.
But yeah, that's the Lost Boys of Pickering, and I just have no words because stuff like this is just unbelievable.
It just,
how six people can go missing.
Yeah, and even if it was an accident, it feels like there definitely wasn't the best investigation done, or at least like there were steps that could have been taken to do better searches or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so heartbreaking because even if they very well could have met with foul play, and it definitely makes me think that for the fact that like there were six of them, but they were separate.
Mm-hmm.
But even if there wasn't foul play, their families still deserve answers. And it's so frustrating that they just never got them.
Yeah. So allegedly, I'll just say that, a lot of people around that area believe that this could be a cover-up as to what or why. There wasn't any, like, much elaboration, but there's a lot of people who believe that conspiracy, like I said, there's a lot of conspiracy theories when it comes to this case, just like with the Springfield 3, you know?
Yeah, that's what happens.
People just go missing like this, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to blame any police stations or anything like that.
No.
But you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, unfortunately, people are grimy, so.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're not accusing anyone, but I just wanted to mention that because it is interesting.
Yeah. Wow. That's so heartbreaking. I hope one day their families will have answers.
I do too. And we will be posting pictures on our Instagram and our Facebook. Definitely, if you are from Canada and you know more about this case, I would love to hear your theories on what you think happened. I mean, I honestly just have no idea. I mean, nothing I can come up with makes sense because there would be like evidence to back it up, but there's nothing. So,
and that's why I feel like it could be foul play, because if it really was like an accident, how has nothing been found? A vessel and six bodies and nothing has been found. Like, how?
Yeah.
So,
and the genes, like, what are the coincidences? Like, what a huge coincidence that the same jeans that Jay was wearing that night washed up with human remains.
Yeah.
But they weren't his. Or it was inconclusive that it was his. I don't know.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah. But yeah. Wow. So that's all I have for you guys today. This case is crazy. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So hit us up over on Facebook. But yeah, until next week, keep it human.
Bye.